It has been a wonderful week of encouragement here with the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. That's what we're all about here at The Encouraging Word. First and foremost, to encourage you with the power of God's absolute truth, the Bible itself. As we begin to dive in today, the message is called The Forgiven Dead. Before we do that, Dr. Don wants you to know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. We can do that on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or this phone number. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. It's 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to speak to you this morning about a magnificent subject. Yep, it's about forgiveness. And I just want to tell you today, with all the love in my heart, that God loved us so much that He gave the Lord Jesus, His only Son, to come and die upon a cross, so that all people who put their faith and trust in Jesus, who are willing to confess their sin to Him alone, can be washed and cleansed, can be reconciled to the Father. It makes that possible. As impossible as it sounds that someone like me, a sinner, could ever come into the presence of a God who is perfectly holy and righteous and just. But that is made possible because Jesus died on the cross. I'm going to show you some things today that are more precious than gold. Would you open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Here's what the Word of God teaches us. God's Word says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 that by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And by the way, that word there, disobedient, in the Greek text, is better read for those who were unbelieving, those who did not accept that God was who He said He was and is. So you could read that passage by faith. This sinful woman, Rahab, was spared and welcomed into the presence of God. She was not slaughtered and killed with all those who were unbelieving, but rather, because of what she did, God spared her life and her entire family. Now, we're going to try and look at what happened here to Rahab, because it's a remarkable story. And I want you to just turn back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. All the way back in the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua and the second chapter. And I'd like to say a few things to you, and then keep your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 2. It's right near the beginning of the Old Testament, just following Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you get to Joshua. So it's not too far from the beginning of the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Now you remember that Joshua is named for that great leader who took over leadership from Moses. And the Israelites had been wandering around in the wilderness. They came to Jericho after 40 years, and there was this impenetrable fortress. And we know the story, how that God gave them a great victory. And some of you may remember the message that we shared together on the seven habits of highly effective overcomers. Well, Joshua, prior to going into Jericho, did, I guess, what all reconnaissance troops do. He sent in a couple of spies to go and find out what it was that they were up against. And so these spies went into Jericho, and the Bible tells us they went to the house of Rahab. And the story is a remarkable story because Rahab gave them protection, helped them to get all the information they needed, then helped them to escape and return back to Joshua and to the command of the Israelis. And we know the rest of the story, how God gave them a great victory. And Joshua chapter 6 says, when they had a great victory, they destroyed everything in Jericho, But there was one family that was saved. Rahab and her family were spared. It's a remarkable thing. Out of all the people and all the things that were done, this incredible nation that Israel came up against, they spared Rahab and her family. It's a wonderful story. It's remarkable in many different ways. But I want to focus in and give to you a key verse, and then we're going to try to understand why she was forgiven. Just look at chapter 2 and verse 11. That's really our key verse today. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 11. This is what it says. And this is Rahab speaking, by the way. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. Here it is. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now there are some things that are rather interesting about Rahab. And I'm interested in Rahab because Rahab turned out, despite herself, to be forgiven. God spared her. Why? What was it about Rahab? Well, let me just share with you four things about Rahab. Number one, Rahab was a sinner. Now, she had particular sin in her life, but I find that people might say from time to time, I wonder if God regards one sin as more of a sin than others. No, he doesn't. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. There are probably those who worship with us today who would say, well, Dr. Wilton, what you don't seem to understand is that I'm guilty of the sin of murder. I know that every time we share together like this, there are many men and women who are incarcerated in prison who are worshiping with us. And I just want you to know that you mean a great deal to us and we love you with all of our hearts and we pray for you. And many of you are on the inside and some of us who are on the outside, we would say, now wait a minute, we are guilty of murder. I'm guilty of adultery. I'm guilty of theft. I'm guilty of blasphemy against God. I'm guilty of, and we could list our sin. God doesn't list sin. Now sin in terms of society carries consequences. From a societal, cultural point of view, some sin is more heinous than other sin. But sin in the eyes of God all does the same thing. It separates man from God. Period. That's what sin does. And there are two times at which God forgives sin. The first time is when we confess sin unto salvation. That's the first time God forgives sin. You cannot be saved. You cannot go to heaven if you haven't confessed your sin unto salvation. In fact, the first time that God forgives sin must take place in order for the second time. The second time is applied to Christian people. I'm a Christian man, but I'm not immune from sin or exempt from sin. The Bible says that my sin is ever before me. I know that I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me that I need to confess my sin to Jesus Christ. And when I do, here's what happens. God restores to me the joy of my salvation. So the first time God will forgive my sin is when he gives me my salvation. The second time I confess my sin is when God will restore to me the joy of my salvation. You see, sin in the life of an unbeliever robs them of salvation and heaven. Sin in the life of a believer will rob you of joy, not of salvation and heaven. Well, here we've got Rahab, and Rahab was no different to any of us. The Bible says she was a sinner. I submit to you what Paul tells us. Paul reminded us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's a second thing that's interesting about Rahab. Not only was she a sinner, but Rahab was an Amorite. That's spelled A-M-O-R-I-T-E. Boys and girls, you might say, what in the world is an Amorite? Well, that's like saying that I'm an American. She was an Amorite. It's like someone who grows up in China says, I'm Chinese. Or an African says, I'm an African. Or an Englishman says, I'm an Englishman. An American says, I'm an American. She was an Amorite. She came from a people called the Amorites. But it was very interesting, the fact that she was an Amorite. Rahab being an Amorite meant that she was a Gentile. And boys and girls, Gentiles means that she wasn't Jewish. And what that tells me is that God's plan has never been selective for one tiny group of people. God has always had a plan for all people to come to know Him. That's why Paul reminded us, he said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. She was an Amorite. But folks, let me tell you about the Amorites. They were an exceedingly sinful people. In fact, back in the time of Abraham, if you go back, for example, to Genesis 15, 16, God tells Abraham that the sin of the Amorites has yet to reach its full potential. God warned that the Amorites, who were the people that lived in Jericho, they were sinful, but God said to Abraham, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think they are sinful now, you just watch them. Sometimes I wonder if God is saying that about America. Wonder if God's going to get tired of sending us warning signs. Wonder if God has announced and from His eternal heart that you ain't seen nothing yet concerning the sin of America. It's amazing that Jericho crumbled from inside out. Well, it's interesting that Rahab was a sinner. Not only that, she was an Amorite. Third of all, she was a woman. And some of you might say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, what do you mean she was a woman? What's that got to do with it? Well, I have nothing to say to the ladies of America. But if you think for one minute there are not women in this world today that have no rights, why don't you come with me to Saudi Arabia? Or why don't you come with me to Afghanistan when the Taliban was ruling? Do you know that women in Afghanistan prior to the Taliban being removed from power, women were so deprived of any form of rights that not even girls and women were entitled to education. There are millions of Afghan women today that have never had a day in a kindergarten. Why don't you come with me to Palestine? Why don't you come with me to these tough, bold men who walk around blowing civilians up in the name of their God, and I'll show you a society in which you don't ever see women. And if you see women, the only time you see them is when they are veiled and covered up. They bring them out to funerals. Do you know why they bring them out to funerals? Because women can scream louder than men. It accentuates the grief. But beyond that, women have no rights in many of our communities and societies and cultures today. And the silence in America is deafening. Nothing's going to be said. God had another plan altogether. God speaking before the foundation of the world, let us know some things about man and about woman. Later on, Jesus Himself encountered a woman called the Samaritan woman, someone who was supposed to be outcast, and He broke down those barriers that man had set down before Him. Oh, what about Rahab? She was a sinner. She was an Amorite. She was a woman. There's a fourth thing I want to point out to you, which is very significant. She was surrounded by sin. Rahab was surrounded by sin. Kind of sounds like America again, doesn't it? You say to me, wait a minute, Pastor. Historians confirm that. The Bible teaches that. You say, what kind of sin? Sin of disobedience. The Amorites, Rahab's people, arrogant. The sin of rejecting God's word, revenge. These people, the Amorites, were filled with hatred, unbelief. We're told by historians that nobody worshipped the gods and foreign idols more than the Amorites did. Idolatry was the name of the game. All of us have been shocked by the Iraqi prisoner abuse scandal. I'm going to submit to you, my friends, that sexual perversion... You want to talk about sexual perversion, go and do a study of the Amorites. They too, like America does today, we've given our people permission to be perverse. And even more so today, because we're not willing to stand up, we're sending our people out and we're saying to them, why don't we export our pornographic ways? Why don't we take our sexual perversion and teach it to other people in the world? Why don't we hold up a banner and tell them, this is America? Cruelty, Oh, the Amorites were cruel. I don't know that I'll ever get over the execution of that young man, Nicholas Berg. I don't know that I'll ever get over the pain that those parents must be suffering. The abhorrent depth of cruelty with 5 or 6 men dressed up who commit such a heinous crime in the name of their God. Well, the Amorites were no different. Historians tell us one of the things that the Amorites did was that they would frequently put newborn babies, live babies, in jars, and they would build them into their city walls as foundational sacrifices to their gods. In all probability, when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, there were literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of babies that had died live that were built into those walls because these people worshipped false gods. Cruelty such which you and I would find abhorrent, although in America today we say we don't put babies in bottles live, but we do allow our people to kill babies left and right before they're born. I wonder what God is saying about us. Well, this lady, Rahab, she was a sinner. She was an Amorite. She was a woman. She was surrounded by sin. Dear friends, today, how easy it is to get lost in the crowd of sin. Mob sin breeds mob sin. I say to our parents today, boy, I love our young people. And young people, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to say more about you in a moment because I am. I tell you, parents, because I'm a parent, your kids are going to come to you and say, I got a party to go to tonight. Nothing wrong with parties. But parents, you had better make sure you know exactly where that party is, exactly whose home it is, exactly who the chaperones are, exactly what they're going to do at that party, exactly what time they're going to come home, exactly who they're going to come home with. And the reason is because I want you to know that when you are surrounded by sin, it is so easy to sin. We've cultured a generation in which our parents are escorting our children into environments of sinfulness. In the name of chaperoning, I submit to you today that these people, these Amorites, their sinfulness was heinous. It was unbelievable. And right here in the midst of this was a lady by the name of Rahab. It's amazing. God spared Rahab. God forgave Rahab. That is me standing in the midst of Jericho, and yet God did something that you and I cannot begin to describe. Well, what exactly did Rahab do? Let's consider. Let's consider what Rahab did. Number one, she opened her home. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1, the second part. The Bible says, so they went and entered into the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. She opened her home. Can I make an announcement to you today? If you want to be forgiven of God, you've got to be prepared to open your home. You've got to open your heart. Friend, listen. Forgiveness is not automatic. You are not forgiven just because you come to church. You're not forgiven just because you're the pastor of the church. You are forgiven because you opened your heart and let Jesus Christ come in and do what He has already done. You keep the door closed, you are not forgiven. She opened her home. Number two, she resisted the king's authority. I want you to note that in verse 3, the Bible says the king of Jericho sent a message to Rahab. She resisted the king's authority. I've watched a few talk shows this week because I'm deeply concerned. I am deeply concerned about this prison abuse scandal. Deeply concerned that the incredible reputation of hundreds of thousands of incredible military personnel are being tarnished. I'm deeply concerned about what other people in other parts of the world are now saying about America. I'm deeply concerned about the utterances of certain senators who are doing everything they can to embarrass the President of the United States of America and to to discredit the United States, but I'm going to tell you that one talk show after another, I'm hearing people, former POWs, saying in the military, you obey with one without question, excepting when you are told to do something that you know is wrong. Sexual perversion is one of those. No matter what the consequences, no matter what the consequences, you have recourse. In other words, yes, there is a blame game. We can walk around and blame this and higher ups and lower downs. But the bottom line, God turns to somebody like me. God turns to a Rahab and says, Rahab, you can blame the king and you can blame your next door neighbor and you can blame your upbringing. But I want you to know, if you want me to forgive you, you have to resist even the king's edict. Oh, there's pressure out there. Pressure from the world, pressure from friends, pressure from religions. But she resisted the king's authority. Number three, she did what was right. Look at verse 6 and 7. She hid these people. She did what was right. You'd say to me, Pastor, what's right? Well, the Bible tells us, Jesus died for me. I need to confess my sin to him. I need to believe in my heart that Jesus died for me, that God raised Jesus from the dead. I need to claim that. I know what's right. God says, do what's right. Do what's right. She did what was right. Number four, she spoke with inner conviction. Look at verse 9. I love verse 9. She turns to these spies before they left her home and she said, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. In 1991, I was privileged to be with Dr. Billy Graham in Scotland. And I remember in the Scottish Parliament as he addressed the Scottish Parliament per se, that the Speaker of the Scottish Parliament got up and recalled 1955 in Kelvin Hall, that great outpouring of the Spirit of God upon that place. And I sat there and I remember listening on that day to how the Speaker of the Scottish Parliament said in 1955, as a young boy, he came to Kelvin Hall. Couldn't get into the facility. All he could hear was this man speaking. Couldn't understand what he was saying, but came to the point of trusting in Jesus Christ, not because he understood, but because he said, if a man can talk and speak with such conviction in his heart about a God that I don't know, he must be real. Friends, when this lady, Rahab, in the midst of the Amorites, found herself where the water hits the wheel, she spoke with an inner conviction. Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'm through with paying lip service to God. You and I are men and women who believe with an inner conviction that God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Rahab spoke with an inner conviction. Number five, she saw the testimony of others. I love this part in verse 10. The Bible says this, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and so on and what have you. Friend, if you want to be about the business of God's forgiveness, just open your eyes and look around. Hold on to the testimony of others. You can look at me, for example. I tell you why you can look at me, because I'm no different from Rahab. I'm a sinner by nature and by choice, and yet God has forgiven me despite myself. Look around and see how God forgives people. See how lives are dramatically changed forever. Number six, she believed with all of her heart. I love verse 11. I read that as our key verse. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Number seven, she believed in all God could do. She believed in all God could do. If you go down to verse 11, the latter part of verse 11, the Bible once again says, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above, and he is also the God of the earth below. Now, what does that mean? It means not only do you receive all that God has done in your heart, but you believe in God's capability and ability to do what only God can do because he's God. my children were growing up, there were times, I hope more often than not, when they looked at me and they just knew because I'm dad, I could do it. I didn't dare tell them if I couldn't. Listen, folks, God can do anything God wants to do. Do you believe that? We pray for healing. I have no control over who is healed, who isn't. I have no control over the end result, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to believe with all my heart that God will do what God can do. I just believe it. And then number 8, she received a full and complete pardon. I love this. She received a full and complete pardon. Now you can go all the way to chapter 6 and verse 17 if you want to read the end of the story. I mean, those Israelites came in, took over Jericho. There was one lady and her entire family that was saved. Kind of reminds me of my dad, you know, when my dad gave his life to Christ. I'm telling you, family members, grandchildren came to know Jesus, people all over the place. Prior to my dad's conversion, we were a bunch of Amorites. Can't tell you how many times people come to me, even here in our beloved congregation, and say, "Pastor, I'm so thrilled my sister gave her heart to Jesus." This morning in an earlier service, two young ladies came down the aisle wanting to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. I didn't know it, but they looked at me and said, "We're sisters." Rahab and her entire family were saved, were forgiven. God put his hand of protection over them. Well, how can I be forgiven? Number one, I need to open my heart. Number two, I need to resist alternative suggestions. Are they going to come? Religions, churches, people, kings and queens. I've got to resist all alternative suggestions. God's told me how to do this. Number three, I need to do what is right. Number four, I need to pray with conviction. I need to pray with conviction. Number five, I need to be encouraged by others. God places around us multitudes of people, sinners saved by the grace of God. My favorite statement, the only difference between the best of us in here and the worst of them out there, here it is, the grace of God. Credible, unbelievable. Number six, accept what God does. You've got to accept it. Number seven, believe in my heart. That's the faith part. I've got to believe it. By the way, when you pray and ask God to forgive you, the chandelier is not going to fall out the roof. You talk about healing. Some people will come to a healing service and say, "Well, there's going to be healing. There's got to be a lot of noise. People have got to jump around and shout." Not on your life. Who said that? Lightning's not going to necessarily strike. I got to believe in my heart that God is going to do what God does. And then here it is, number 8. I must receive a full and complete pardon. I've got to receive that. I've got to say, "Lord, thank you. I receive that." Now, friend, listen to me. If you have confessed your sin to Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
It's been a great week here on The Encouraging Word. I hope you have a blessed weekend. And don't forget, your life will be enriched by gathering together with other believers. Find your place of worship this weekend. Until next time, take care and God bless.